The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, July 12th, and we're talking NBA Finals Game 3. We're talking about Vince Staples' new album. We're talking about Loki. We're talking about Spelling Bee Champions. We're talking about everything. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
It's funny how he, like, said it with his head up now because the new mic.
Got the new mic stand here, y'all. Do you hear how crispy I am?
That's a professional-ass mic. Anyway, what's up, Bubbas?
We have Theseus's podcast set up. Tyler is like every week we upgrade a new part of his podcast apparatus. We can see him clearly.
Hell yeah.
We can hear him clearly. It's crazy.
The visual and the audio experience.
The quiet storm is upon us.
It's been quite the ride.
Right.
This thing do make me feel professional as a motherfucker. I feel like a goddamn.
Why? Like a you gotta goddamn turn your head every singer. Time you talk, though, motherfucker.
I don't know. I'm just saying. No, I'm just admiring the stand while
he
I'm
does not. I'm he does not. He does not have to turn his head. He's just staring the microphone. He's making eye contact with it.
He's gonna be smooching that motherfucker soon. The way he keep looking at that motherfucker, dog,
gazing deeply into its non-existent eyes. So beautiful.
Shout out to everyone who's been listening to Jenkins and Jones since before anyone knew what microphones were.
Right. We was recording on our phone on Skype. Like, we ain't know what the fuck we're doing.
Shout out to you. Shout out to you. If you've been listening since the podcast was literally done on cups or soup cans with strings.
Soup cans.
Between the orange strings.
Where do you put that mic after you're done recording? Like, where does that go?
I just throw it in the corner. You know, keep it out the way.
Okay, that's a mic, nigga.
Let's talk about Game 3. The Bucks beat the Suns 120-100. It was I think it was kind of the bounce back. We talked about this after the first two games. We didn't feel like the Suns were about to run away with it. Did anything stand out to you, Tyler, about this game? Anything go differently than you thought it would?
No, I think that, you know, sports fans tend to overreact to when a home team goes up 2-0. Motherfucker, you're supposed to go up 2-0, right? You had both those games at home. Like, you know, game 3 and game 4 is where we'll see where the series is really going. But Giannis, bro, back-to-back 40-point games in the finals. Like, hey, you know, we've all said that there are things that Giannis needs to improve on to you know, make defenses work harder, to make defenses not, you know, be as efficient at you know, limiting his team. But none of that shit has mattered these last few games. He is getting buckets, and he is getting to it, bro. Back-to-back 40-point games, that's God-tier shit, man.
He is the second player in NBA history with a 40-point, 10-rebound back-to-back finals performance. The other player is Shaq.
Oh, wow. Of course it's Shaq.
Yeah.
When are they going to double-team or build the wall, or what are they going to do with Giannis? Like, it just seems like they're letting Giannis do what he does defensively, and it doesn't make sense to me. I mean,
what would you do with their personnel? I mean, they're a little bit personnel challenged. I think they tried to throw Ayton at him a little bit today, and he
was one-on-one with
three fouls.
I mean, Ayton started off good, and he had to sit his ass down and it slowed him down. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a coach, but I know just guarding him one-on-one has never worked for anybody ever. You know what I mean?
But
so
I don't think it's going to work now.
I
think I'm still seeing them sag a bunch of dudes down to him and collapse on him. And I mean, it's just he's playing at a different level. And Tyler said it, like, it was only, I mean, in that Nets series, early in the series, people were talking about, like, Giannis might have reached his ceiling, you know, like, teams might have figured him out. I don't. And then it was just like, and now he's doing stuff in the finals that almost no one in NBA history has done. I mean, you do something that only Shaq has done in finals history. That's pretty fucking crazy, bro.
How do y'all feel about Booker, man? You can't you can't have games like this. I think, like, you know, you have a bad game, but you can't have a 3-of-13 game as the best player on the team. I don't know if you can allow that. So far
in the finals in these three games, he is, I think, 21 for 60. He's shooting about 30%.
And all 21 were probably in game two, like, for the most part. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, he started 2 of 10 in game three as well. And then he ended up scoring more, obviously, in game two. But, yeah, they're not going to win like that. No one on the Suns.
I was going to say, still the best-case scenario, Book has been this horrible, and you're still up 2-1 in this series so far. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he'll flip that switch and turn it on. You know, we'll see. I don't think he's going to be this terrible for the whole series. I don't think. But we don't know. This is Book's first fucking postseason. Who the fuck knows, right? So we'll see.
Yeah, I just think, like, having games that bad as the best player, like, that's – I mean, I was talking about him. Like, he was, you know, coming to God tier. They're talking about this man compared him to Kobe. 3-of-13, you know what I mean? That's hard, bro. That's hard to stomach. I don't know what you do with that. That's all mental. And it seemed like he wasn't as good – like, aggressive. Like, he was shooting, but he wasn't aggressive. Like, he was just accepting what they were giving him. You know what I mean? If you've missed 6 fucking three-pointers in a row, my nigga, like, bro, you know what I mean? Start going to the basket or something, dog. Like, it's, oh, yeah.
I think, obviously, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, you know, bounced back from – which they sort of had to bounce back from game two. But I do think – Drew Holiday was just kind of, I mean, he was so up in Devin Booker's shit early in the game. He had that play. He basically just took the ball out of his hands. And it kind of felt like that kind of helped get Drew going a little bit. And so maybe, I mean, it's, Tyler said it, this is the fun thing about the NBA Finals. You overreact wildly in every direction. Devin Booker probably goes, he probably thinks about having the ball snatched out of his hand for 2 days and comes out and scores 35 or some shit,
yeah.
You know, in game four, like, that's the way it goes, right? That's what makes what Giannis has done so special is it's very rare when you get to the finals that even the very best player just is like, this is my mark and I'm going to be this fucking crazy game in and game out. It's really like Bron has been so consistent throughout his career that I think people forget that that's not something that happens. I mean, it's really just not very many players normal. That get into the finals and you're like, oh, it's 35 points. No big deal. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, we all sat through the Lakers Celtics game 7 finals, you know what I mean? As like, there's Hall of Fame players just smearing Dookie all over that box score, like
those fucking 84-79 games and shit. Yeah,
so that, yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts from the game? How much do we love, you know, I have to say, I love the small market teams being in the finals. It's all good. Maybe we could leave the 8K cameras in LA and New York.
Oh yeah, they're just
for the crowd shots, you know what I mean? Maybe you just say, this is not the best coaching adjustment for us to make as a production crew.
I felt like John, you know, noticed, you know, John might have gave Suns fans a bad rap because I feel like the Suns arena was the first time we saw the 8K cameras being brought out, right? And he was like, yo, these motherfuckers are ugly. But it's like, you know, now that they're taking them to Milwaukee, it's kind of like everybody's ugly. You know,
I thought that I thought that, like, when I saw the next Milwaukee home game, but it was like I'd already got the tweet off, you know what I'm saying? Like, with the Simpsons, but that could have fit for Milwaukee too, you know what I mean? I literally thought that, and I'm like, but
your tweet was there's more Simpsons characters in the stands at Suns games than any other arena. And I totally agree with you. They go to a Bucks game and you go, there's a lot of Simpsons characters in this stadium.
Still too, a lot. It's very competitive. They're very competitive, bro. Yeah. So I don't know.
Very high Simpson quota there going on. Simpson per capita. Fucking quota.
I think because there's more light-skinned yellow niggas in Phoenix, it, like, adds, you know, to the first, you know what I mean? But, like,
what's the one Simpsons character that personifies each home crowd? I will say Mo Sizzlak is the Bucks crowd.
That's exactly what I would have said for the Bucks too. Mo Sizzlak. I feel like I feel like Nelson Muntz's crew is like the Suns, though.
Yes. Suns and four?
Yeah.
That's Nelson Muntz's Muntz. Crew. Yeah. That's his whole that shit, Nelson bro. Nelson Muntz,
bro. That's his whole shit. Had a fucking, he should have had a fucking Suns jersey vest like Nelson has. He should have had a Booker jersey vest when he was beating homie up. Because, yeah, I feel like, yeah, Suns fans are definitely the Nelson Muntz crew, and Bucks fans are definitely most Sislak.
I think it's Bucks fans could get some Doug Funny off too. They got the Doug Funny like look, you know what I mean? So, it's shit ain't sweet. Dude, I'll say that.
The dude that was like vertical instead of horizontal that had it in game two in Phoenix, who had his arms
young,
out.
Young Skip Bayless. Over.
Yeah. Young Skip Bayless, and you could literally see the camera was so clear you could see the blue ice coursing through his veins. You know what I mean? He's one of those dudes where you're like, you grew up watching Doug and you're like, I never understood what they were going through, like going for with the hair until I saw these people. You know what I mean? Because I didn't grow up around that particular brand of white. You know what I mean?
What do y'all feel about Giannis first quarter situation? What do y'all truly think it was?
Okay. So for people who were not watching the game, Giannis, it was like, walk us through what the clip looked like, John.
I mean, to me, you know, he called out. He wanted to come out the game. It looked like to me like he was having an anxiety attack. So he was like, you know, like trying to get deep breaths in. Like he was short on breath. And then it showed him later like pacing, you know, going back and forth to the locker room, it seemed. So I was like, this looks like an anxiety attack. But there's no way a player of this, you know, stature on this, you know, stage would have one, which makes more sense than any stage I've been on or any of us have been on when we had anxiety issues.
I had an anxiety attack from commuting to Torrance from Long Beach.
I have anxiety attacks at fucking Target, nigga. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the toiletry aisle, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm on the fucking, I'm a shooting three throws in front of the world in the NBA finals, I'm gonna have me a fucking anxiety attack, all capital letters. You feel me? So I'm not judging. It was just shocking to see. I was like, there's no way. Others said he might have had to take a shit and was trying to walk it off. I thought anxiety attack, you know what I mean? Which is wild. I wonder if somebody's going to ask a question. We want to know the answer, but I thought it looked like the man was having an anxiety attack.
We're recording during the post game. So someone might ask him about it. We'll find out if that is the case. The NBA finals are finally here, and FanDuel Sportsbook has a championship offer you don't want to miss, because during the finals, new users get 30-1 odds on either the Bucks or the Suns to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. I'm taking the Bucks in game four because I think the series is going the distance. So that would be my boosted pick. With FanDuel Sportsbook, there are more ways to win on FanDuel during the NBA finals. And when you do win, getting your money is a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with the promo code J. That's J and J with the ampersign to bet the NBA finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code J to unlock 30-1 odds on either team to win their next game exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, you must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Indiana, or New Jersey. Must wager in the designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. 1-800-9-WITH-IT or 1-800-GAMBLER. So I guess the fundamental question that I want to ask the two of you, because we did talk about this in the group chat, is what do you do? You're at the park. You're 30 minutes away from a bathroom. You got to walk back to your house. What do you like? What's your routine? Like, what are you doing when you're trying to hold a shit in? Because Tyler and I said, like, Giannis was doing exactly what I would be doing in that situation.
I mean, yes,
I
would, like,
I was gonna say, when I have had to poop and there has not been an available toilet, I have looked just like Giannis in that situation. Like, I have fucking paced back and forth. I've been doing the heavy breathing. You know what I'm saying? Like, because when you know you got that one fart bubbling up in you that you can't let out. When you let that motherfucker out, everything is going to shit, literally. Like, that is a stressful situation to be in, bro. And you are trying to keep busy, you're trying to keep occupied, you're trying to keep your mind off of that until that shit passes through. So, like I said, a fucking constipation attack similar, looks like a panic attack.
You're talking to your colon. You're talking to your colon. You're saying we can do this.
Hold me down. Just hold it together.
We're in front of the neighbor's house.
Right. Don't make me look bad out here, dog. No, I mean,
I'm wearing fucking khakis right now.
What tripped me out was the jaw were like heaving for air, like trying to stay calm. I was shocked by that. That's a whole thing. Like, I'll do the duck walk. I'll pace, like, nigga, you know, relax, buddy. You know what I mean? I've pulled off the highway on some, like, I can't make it to the crib. You know what I'm saying? Ran up in Walgreens, threw my jacket on the floor. You know, if you let your clothes hit a fucking, you know, Walgreens floor, nigga was struggling. You know, I did some heavy breathing on the toilet, but I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't like heaving for air or some anxious shit. So that's what tripped me out. Y'all saying y'all was breathing all deep, trying to get air in and shit. I'm like, nigga, bro. Like,
it's, see, the whole thing, like I said, the breathing deep isn't trying to get air in. You are just, at that point, that is like some frustration breathing where you're like, oh my God, please don't let me shit on myself, please. Like, that's what the heavy breathing is there. It's not like that you can't breathe. It's you're just so frustrated with the situation and you thinking shit is gonna go real bad. And you're just exhaling all of your concerns and shit at that point.
Have y'all ever not made it? Have y'all ever not made it home?
Really? When I was, it hasn't happened to adult me.
Okay.
It happened to me when I was a kid, story. Like 9 or 10 was like the last time I shitted on myself.
It happened to adult Mike. Hold up, Mike. It happened to adult Mike. That face said adult Mike.
I think the first tweet I ever posted that got like retweets was something like, "I shit my pants every year or so just to keep myself humble."
Wait. Okay.
It's not that frequent, but I'll tell you a story from 10 years ago or so, like mid 20s. I was coming home from covering a game. It was like 10:30 p.m. So they locked the, you know, you first of all, you don't want to shit at a fucking high
You're
school.
A married man at this point, right? Already too, right? Just to set it up.
Happily married. Yeah, okay. Happily married.
You are trying to paint this man into a
at the place we used to live.
Husband,
I know. I just want to know. Family, we got it. I want to get to. I want to know. I can know if I can.
You guys
ask
are gonna.
Shaw responded after this.
If you don't just want Mike to have embarrassed himself here. You want Mike to have embarrassed
his family.
leave my wife out of this story.
I wanted to know because I wanted to ask about Shaw after you told the story. But go ahead.
If someone asked Shaw underneath this podcast, she will text both of you with probably stories that I don't want you to hear. But at the place we were living at the time, you had to park across kind of a busy street and then run across the street to get. There just wasn't any parking in front of the apartments that we were living in. So I parked over there. I've had to shit since I got in the car. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sit like
booty tight as a motherfucker, bro. Booty hole just fighting. You feel me?
So I get out of the car. I'm carrying all my stuff. I run right across the street, and I don't notice that the car way down the street, the first car down there, was a cop car. And so this dude puts on his siren, flashes his lights, and goes, "Wait right there." So I'm standing on the Meridian, right? And so I know this dude has to drive past me, make a U-turn, and come back to come write me a jaywalking ticket. And I was like, of all the injustices in the world, I am not going to stand here and shit my pants while I wait for a jaywalking ticket. So I just took off across the other side of the street. And this dude fully flipped around and was like trying to come and catch me and everything. But I'm just like,
whole ass nigga, like, over jaywalking.
And fully did not make it back to the apartment. But I was like, you know what I mean? But I was just like, I don't care at this point, bro. I'm just, this is, the night is not ending with me getting, it can end with me taking a shit in my pants, but it is not ending with me getting a jaywalking ticket for $180 that I do not have.
Yo,
and shitting myself while he's writing me the ticket. Yeah, not going to happen.
So Shar, continue. How did, like, what happened when you got into the house? Please.
So you know, we usually if you're holding it, if you're holding the shit, usually when it comes out, it's like it's somewhat explosive would be the situation. That wasn't the case in this. I'd been eating well and everything. And so what happened was when I got in, I shook out of my pant leg in the bathroom a more or less perfectly formed meatball of shit.
Solid. Wait, that was a solid doo-doo stick in there?
It was solid,
it wasn't
bro.
Like a blowout, nigga. It was like the... You had a dick of doo-doo in your fucking draw, dog. That's what you did to yourself. How does it fit in there, bro? Jesus Christ. Oh, shit. That is great. Yeah. So Char never knew until you told her?
No, she knew. For sure. I went running in there and fucking duck walked up the stairs to the bathroom.
Oh, shit.
Oh my god.
So Tyler,
so thanks to the Long
turn.
Beach Police Department.
You aren't the mayor yet, huh? You aren't the mayor yet. You couldn't get out the ticket. You don't have that problem anymore. Tyler, it's your turn though.
Last time I shat upon myself.
I shat upon
when I shat upon myself.
I
was like 10 years old. Yeah, I was like 10 years old and it was
hold on, you haven't shit yourself since you were 10, bro. You haven't shit yourself once since you were 10 years old, really? Wow.
Never. Mike, I haven't
blessed
either,
life.
Bro. Yeah. I would say maybe 11, 12. Maybe. Go ahead.
And this shit was terrible because I had to like wallow in it, and I'll tell you why. It's because, you know, I was like 10 years old and I was, you know, out and about and I had taken my mom's bicycle because, you know, my bicycle was fucked up. And, you know, those like fucking adult bicycles from the fucking 80s and 90s with the fucking curl bar shit. Yeah, those types of shit. Right. So anyway, I was out and about. I was at the park chilling with the homies and all that. And I just was like, yo, I got to get home. I'm like, it's coming. And right. And I couldn't get home. And the thing is, I was so little on that grown-ass adult bike that I couldn't do the whole, you know, stand up and pedal, right? So I had to sit on the motherfucking seat in my shit to pedal bike to get it home. So yeah, I had to wallow in the last time I shat upon myself.
Sitting on a bicycle might be the worst place I could think of to shit yourself. Yeah, that's horrible.
It just spreads out everywhere. It's just like...
Jonathan,
Dookie Chronicles. I should have made it back to the crib. Like I was actually in the like driveway hooping, and I was just so like adamant. Right, I'm literally a garage away from the door, and I'm shooting. I'm like, I'll be good. It'll go away. You know, it usually bubbles up and goes back in your stomach. And so I never been to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. So like, I was like in the middle of a jumper when I was like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like, and did the duck walk about three steps and bloop, bloop, bloop. But it was like my booty had burped. You know what I mean? You know how you throw up in your mouth a little bit? That's what happened in my booty.
Your booty threw up in its mouth.
Right. And I went to the toilet. I remember sitting down and, you know, seeing what was in my drawers. And I just shook my head like, nigga, you too old for this shit. But I was only 12. I can't imagine how I'd have felt at 25, a whole ass husband. You know what I mean? Looking down at a whole doo-doo stick.
Just getting directly in the shower. Just coming home from work and getting directly in the shower and throwing your clothes away. Yeah.
Right, man. That's a cold world at that point.
My friend Pat told us this story in college. It's the funniest pooping your pants story I'd ever heard. Pat was a younger brother in a big Irish family. And he and his brother had this thing where they would flick boogers at each other when he was like a little kid, right? And he said his brother was like fucking... I don't know, man, like an American sniper hero with boogers would just like
Olympic level, like
Booger. Yeah, like could be on the skis and would hit you in the fucking side of the eye. Like we get it behind your glasses and shit.
On the
you
move,
know what I mean?
Nigga. Like, pew, 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 pew,
pew. And so Pat said, he, you know, once he kind of tried to fight his brother over one time. He got hit like right under his eye. He's like, fuck, you can't fucking do this. Like, stop it. It's fucking so gross. And so he said his brother grabbed his head and pulled it down and farted right in his ear.
Wow.
Just like coldly. And so Pat,
I know what that sensation is like. That has
so
to be
Pat
horrifying.
Said he was like, we had chili that night, and I was like, I'm gonna fart in this dude's face so fucking bad. Like, I'm gonna fuck up his life. I'm gonna fart in his face so bad.
He?
Like 9 or 10, probably.
Okay, okay.
So he goes, like, I'm saving it up. And I'm like, it's gonna be so nasty. So they're watching TV. He gets up. He knows the moment's right. He has a big fart. He runs right across his brother's face, puts his butt right in his face on the move, and just shotgun blasts himself with shit.
Oh, my God.
Wait, okay. I understand.
And this is the story of how Pat got referred to by his brother as shit pants at his own wedding. You know what I mean?
So it still turned on him in the end.
Oh, man, of course, bro. Like, of course, your big brother would never let that go.
Yeah. That sibling beef don't die, bro. You might have shattered my face when we were 10, but wait till your fucking wedding day 20 years later.
Got right? Some for that ass, you feel me? Yeah.
God damn.
All right.
This is a full Jenkins and Jones episode, by the way. This is, we went full J&J. You know,
the Duke.
John and I are both. John and I are neither John nor I are at home, so it's a vacation type of an episode for sure. And I feel like we shouted out the listeners who were listening to the pre-microphone show, so you're getting a classic Jenkins and Jones. But let's talk about something that did not shit its own pants, which was Vince Staples by Vince Staples. We all love the album. John, I'm curious for your thoughts because you were kind of poo-pooing Vince Staples a little bit before
that.
It came out.
Me and Tyler said the same thing. Summertime 06 was a great album, right? It was really good. Phenomenal. It's not a timeless album to me, but it's a great album, right? After that, I liked Vince more than his music. You know what I mean? Like, he might have a single here or there. I love the art direction of his shit. I respected his, you know, his craft. I'm not.
But you were looking for the interviews. You weren't looking for his album.
Exactly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the energy in his album was always weird. I felt like the raps were, like, it's kind of like Nas to a degree. We're like, hella good rapper. Always knew that. Never questioned that. Never picked the right beats. You know what I mean? It didn't really figure his sound out. I heard this first joint and I'm like, this might be Vince's album. This might be the album where he figures it out, where he's not like, I don't want to say over rapping, but focusing on rap more than actual music. And I think that's what happened. I think the dude made a great fucking cohesive album that every song sounds great. It sounds great. The rapping doesn't overshadow anything. He didn't, you know, like he put the right amount of effort into every part of making a song. And like the dude, like I don't think he dumbed himself down. I think, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he watered the raps down. I just think he, you know, used it more sparingly. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? But like, I think it's a beautiful album. It sounds great. And I think this is, for me, this is the album I'll probably listen to the most. Summertime 06 was great, but that year, like, there were so many good albums that, like, it, you know, it didn't really sit with me. I might listen to this more than Summertime 06. Like, this was a great album, and he did exactly what I thought he was going to do when I heard the first joint. It's fire. I think he's found his sound.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, like we said in the group chat, like, I fucking love Vince Staples, but he lost me on some of the I guess, creative leaps that he took. And, you know, who gives a fuck if he lost me? If that's what he wanted to do with his career, great for him. You know what I mean? You know, so, yep. But shit, I mean, Vince Staples had one of his homies tweet him, you know, and said, I'm so glad Vince isn't rapping on these Swedish House Mafia beats anymore. Hey, but people don't know Swedish House Mafia is a fucking EDM group, right? Like, that was Vince's homie saying that shit. But you know, like you said, it's such a, I love the sound he went for on here. Like, you know, I heard the Law of Averages singing. I was like, bro, if we get like a whole album of this understated minimalist sound that he's running with here, this shit is going to be beautiful. And that's exactly what we got. Like, you know, it's a one rapper, one producer album. Kenny Beats did pretty much most of the shit here, but we got that on FM too. Like, Kenny Beats did most of the tracks there, but Kenny Beats was a bit, you know, all over the place on that, which is what Vince wanted. You know, he wanted his shit to be diverse, and that's cool. But I love when one rapper and one producer lock in for, and they have like kind of agreed on the sound that they want. You know what I'm saying? Like I said on this album, it's that understated, minimalist, muffled bass sound. And it's perfect. I love it. You know, like I said, it's probably my favorite Vince album since Summertime 06 for sure.
I would say, I think Vince is doing what Earl should. Like, this is like where I thought Earl would probably be. Mm-hmm. Earl went so far left, you know what I mean? But I thought Earl with the understated sound, you know what I'm saying? And like lyrically, mm-hmm. I think this would be a good pocket for Earl. And Vince figured it out. Earl still hasn't. You know, he's taking some weird leaps and hasn't quite locked in yet. But
yeah, them goddamn SpongeBob beats here. Right? Yeah, that
fucking, what the fuck? I'm gonna play that for the shorty. She gonna be like, you know, that baby shark ass beat. You know, he be on. You feel me?
Sheesh. I also liked it, to no one's surprise, but I also liked all of the other projects much more than you guys did. FM in particular sounds exactly like it sounds like growing up in Long Beach. It sounds like being a kid during the summertime in Long Beach. So I think there's a special thing. And I know, you know, you guys being from St. Louis and Richmond, you guys have had this too, but being from Long Beach is cool because we're not really considered like a heavyweight city, really, outside of rap, right? We're the biggest city in America with no professional sports team. Everyone, like, I think everyone outside of Southern California just thinks it's like a suburb of LA or whatever. But it's just a special thing that there's like great writers and musicians talking about like the mall that you went to and like the schools that your friends went to or that you went to, and talking about the childhood that you grew up with. You know what I mean? So growing up in the 90s, there was a ton of obviously musicians from Long Beach who were doing that. And I think it's special for the kids growing up now. And for me, I just think it's cool as fuck, like, to have a dude like Vince out there. And I hope that the torch keeps getting passed and there's never like a break in that chain. I'm sure there will be at some point, but yeah, man, I'm happy as fuck for him. He's been through quite a bit since his last album. And I know some of his earlier stuff, some of his stuff since Summertime 06 was pretty dark. You know what I mean? He had like some borderline suicidal raps and shit. And he's really popped up in my community in a big way, funding, you know, youth community centers. He's been involved with one of the football teams, the high school football team in the city that his friend, who's sort of a mutual friend of mine as well, is the coach of. So it's just been cool for me to see him. He had the interview a little while back talking about gun violence, and what he wanted with his music was to like talk about a world everyone could grow up in without being afraid in his city. And unlike Snoop and a lot of the other dudes who've been successful at Long Beach, he's not trying to move to Calabasas or a compound or whatever.
He has that exact bar on the album. Like, I ain't moving to Calabasas. Like, he says that on the
front. Right.
Yeah.
And that's true, man. I mean, you know what I mean? Like Vince, I was at an NFL Films thing he did at this high school that I was mentioning, and he beat the NFL Films people there. He was standing around with me and the coach, pissed off that they were wasting his time. And then the coach made the point. He's like, bro, you live 10 minutes from here. Like, you know what I mean? You just, most people here, he's going back to his hometown and they assume it's a big production. You just actually still live here and are trying to take care of people. Like, that's a really unique personality. And I think it's like, it's absolutely the case that all that stuff affects the music making and life as well, right? Like, he didn't get up and out and like, I'm not going to worry about this shit anymore. Like, his friends are still people that he's worried about, you know? And yeah, I think that came through on the album for sure in a really, in a beautiful way. But I thought it was a great album. I thought it was really moving. I have no ability to hear it as someone who's not from Long Beach.
Yeah.
Like, this all, like, that's all that we went to. That's like, I was at the movie theater when it got shot up twice at that exact mall. You know what I mean? Like, I can't hear it, not from my perspective, but I loved it for sure.
I think the thing about like FM or like,
all right, let's talk about, go ahead.
Okay. I think the thing about like FM, whatever, like, I know he does references about like Long Beach and stuff, but like if you're creating a sound, you have to create a sound for the world. Like Nipsey went platinum in LA. You know what I mean? Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't think, I think there's very few cities where you can go platinum in that city, like Houston, New York. You can go platinum by just making music for that city. You know what I mean? Like, Long Beach, the people that go crazy are the people that made music for everybody.
But we're we're not a big enough city for you to make music just for people in Long Beach. For
exactly. But I think
you can't go platinum off of 500,000 people.
Yeah, you feel me? I think this sound is more for everybody. But it's, I don't think he like sold out in any way or did anything outside of himself. It still feels very Vince, and I think there's still some very like, you know, sad moments in it. You know what I mean? And it feels sad at certain times, you know what I mean? But it sounds good. And I think that's the difference. It's like, you know, like the sound is very appealing. Like I could just play this album over and over and over and over, you know, like, cause it just feels good to hear the music. You know what I mean?
Totally agree. Let's talk about the young woman who took the country by storm this week with some of the craziest shit I've ever, like, I love this about the internet. You have no idea when you open up, like, what you're going to fucking see. But I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. I've been just reading stories. I haven't heard it. Zayla Avant-Garde, who became the first Black person to win the Scripps National Spelling Bee. And then, as it turns out, I believe she referred to spelling as an hors d'oeuvre, which is a word that she can spell, but I still can't spell. Right, she's 14.
Right. Horse divorce.
I still can't spell horse divorce. It's a horse divorce. Horse divorce. it turns out she's even a much better basketball player and has set, you know, Guinness World Records and all this other stuff. But I love this part of culture where someone just bursts onto the scene and gets showered with with like love and sort of getting to enjoy people finding out how cool they are, especially when it's a young person.
Yeah, and she's super fucking talented. Like, besides being like, you know, a fucking a recruit who's on, you know, major programs, you know radar already, like she's getting scholarship offers already as an eighth grader. Like, have you seen some of her like trick videos when she's on a fucking unicycle dribbling three basketballs and shit? Like, she is like the most interesting kid on the fucking planet. And she was like, you know, spelling is just, you know, something I do on the side. I'm really nice at this hoop and shit. And then you say, and you know, it's like, oh wow, you know, way to talk your shit. Then you see a fucking clip of her on a fucking unicycle dribbling three basketballs at once, right? I'm like, yeah, you, basketball is your shit too. You know what I mean? And there's in-game footage, of course, of her busting ass too. Like, she's not just some you know, fucking TikTok trick, you know, chick. She is out there
trick dribbler, yeah, real.
Right, she's out there busting ass, getting buckets too.
Just I love how kid, confident man. She is. I love how confident she is. She said, I'm basically good at everything I try. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love what her, and as somebody that's going to change her last name to Avant-Garde, like, parents are going to make sure that kid is as confident as she is. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. Like you said, and especially like Mike said, especially her being a kid, when you see these kids get that type of love and adoration, that makes it even more special. But yeah, I mean, it was exciting to see, like, damn, oh, she actually is hooping after she talks about hooping. Like, you know what I mean? Like the drill, even like her and the ball in the rim drills, if you look at her jumper, bro, that shit is fucking pure. You know what I mean? That's not a, 14-year-old's fucking jumper, boy or girl. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? She got a Jimmy on her. So yeah, it's dope to see that. It's just dope to see that. And to see how confident she is in a certain of herself. You know what I'm saying?
Some of the trick dribbling videos, I feel like I'm not intelligent enough to even understand what's happening in them. Like, like Tyler mentioned the unicycle one, but there's one where she's just on the floor and she's facing the camera. And I want to say it was 5 or 6 basketballs. They're all of different colors, but she was like juggling and dribbling. Like, she's moving the balls around like in a circle as she's dribbling them. And it was like almost hypnotic. I was like, what? Like, I had to, like, you know, when you put your finger on where the cursor is and then just slowly move it, like, to make the Twitter video.
Right.
What is happening here?
We need the mini doc. We need the mini doc. I want to see how she sees things. And you know what I mean? I want to see how she like looks at things and comprehends them. I bet it's totally different and super interesting. And her parents are probably just as interesting as she is, you know, to raise a child so special. So I think it's dope. It's been dope. But I wanna see that. I want the background, you feel me?
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna close on a lot of you who've been tweeting at us that you'd like to hear us talk about Loki. We're all caught up with one episode left of Loki. And if I don't remember if we have any producers that needed a signal that we're about to talk about Loki. But we're talking about Loki, and I'll give a thumbs up when we're done talking about it. I love this show so much, and I don't know. That's my opening statement. I think it's a great fucking show.
Right, it's fucking like a Christopher Nolan Marvel fucking series, right? Like fucking Inception or Tenet or whatever the fuck. I love it, man. I will say, I think the one major question I have here is, are you rooting for Loki and Sylvie or not?
Yeah, I'm not rooting for them to fuck. I find the sexual tension between them quite strange.
I think it's weird. Like, you are fucking the female version of you. But it plays out for Loki because he's such a narcissist that he would fall in love with the female version of himself.
It totally makes sense. It's just sometimes when they're... Right. Yeah, but they'll be looking at each other and be like,
I would not fuck a female variant of me, bro. I would not be attracted at all to a female, multiverse me.
No. I would dog the shit out of a female version. I would tax the fuck.
I don't think you put
out of a female version of me, bro. I would fuck the shit out of me as a woman, dog. That, bro, like, dog, we would have a fucking blast. We would have the best and the worst of everything. It would be crazy as hell, and I enjoy every second of that shit. It wouldn't be healthy at all, but I'd have a blast.
I was really sure I was going to have said the grossest thing about myself on this podcast. Thank you, John.
Bro, it's not like the clone. She comes from a whole different multiverse. Like, we're not related at all. We're not sharing a single genetic strand. You know what I mean?
She's not related to you, but she is of you, that. Though. You know what
but
I mean?
But we're like, not related. We came from the same microchip. You know what I mean? Like, dog, who gives a fuck? We have very similar traits. That's what it is. And I think it'd be fun. It'd be very interesting.
You could bone a woman that you knew came from an alternate version of your parents, is what you're saying.
No, bro, I can bone a woman that came from the same Okay, listen, if you put the same traits, Mike, shut your weak ass up. You was funny, weird ass nigga. Anyway, if you're listening, Mike's whole face is on the fucking camera looking at me. Bro, the traits
up in the same room as you with the same parents as you.
No, she didn't. Dude, look at her.
Yes, they did. They showed her childhood. They showed her childhood. She grew up in the royal palace in Asgard.
I don't know the whole background of this shit because I don't be fucking researching everything. But my standpoint is... You're too busy
looking for women who look like you.
I'm swiping, like, I need to find another me, you know, my other half. No, from my understanding, she came from a different multiverse. They have different traits. They don't share the same genetics. It's not that weird. It's not weird to me. You know what I mean? Like, dog, if there's... They have the exact same parents. Is that what they're saying? Like, their parents had a girl instead of a boy. Is that what
they have? Variant parents. Yeah.
So their parents aren't the same parents
of your parents. But so their parents aren't the same parents. They're a different version of your parents.
But they're not the same parents. They're so it's not the same genes, though. But they're still a different version
of your parents, though. It's the same blueprint, though.
So does it count as a sister? Because that's gross. It's not a sister to me, though. We don't know each other. We've never known each other. We don't exist in the same universe. She's a different version of you.
It's worse than this.
Look, bro.
It's the most incest you can do by boning a different version of you. You know
incestuous,
what I mean?
Like, bro. No. If we fuck and the kid come and the eye is where the elbow is supposed to be, that's incestuous, nigga. You feel me? The child will be healthy. I don't know this motherfucker. They came from a totally different plane. We're not even the same universe. It's in a different, you know what I'm saying? Like, dog, no.
But we're not talking about alligator Loki. We're talking about Loki as a woman who grew up as the daughter of
Odin. So you would fuck alligator Loki? Like, nigga, because it's an alligator? No, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro.
Fucking these variants here, bro. You know?
I was just saying.
let's ask you if you would fuck
the lid is still on.
I'm not fucking alligator Loki. I'm just saying that's a damn alligator. I like things with titties, fucking, yeah, but alligators ain't got no boobies,
you,
bro.
Yes. But are you fucking... Yes, but are you fucking alligator John is the question.
I'm not fucking alligator me. Like, if I'm seeing me, I'm not kissing me in the mouth. You know what I mean? But if I'm a kissing a man in the mouth, it might as well be me, my nigga. You feel me? But no, I'm not doing that. But like, I don't think nothing's weird about that, bro. I don't think nothing's weird about that. Because there's no relation there outside of the microchip that was used to make them. I don't see the dog. No, bro. They live in the matrix, nigga. There are a bunch of ones and zeros, my nigga. I would fuck that grouping of ones and zeros. Flat the fuck out.
Who asked the original question of are we rooting for them or not? I know I just sidetracked the entire conversation. Tyler asked that.
Do we like the show?
Yes, Tyler, I am rooting for them. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say I fucking love it. It's something I didn't expect, and they are, you know, over delivering. You know, I did not expect for us to get a fucking Loki multiverse fucking, you know, time traveling interdimensional tale here, and I love every fucking second of it.
Are you rooting for them to like destroy the world and everything?
Is, you know, is Sylvie really rooting to destroy the world, or is she trying to yes, or is she trying to kind of reset shit so she can go back to like her childhood and the life that she had?
We shall see.
I actually was watching it at one point and I straight up yelled at the screen, "Let's fucking go," because the writing was so good and it made me emotional where I was about to cry. And I was just excited that writing was this solid, bro. Accompanied with like how it's been shot and the idea itself. I think it's brilliant. I fucking love it creatively, bro. The casting is perfect. Like the idea is perfect. The writing is in like fucking 12 out of 10. I love it. I love it. I'm pissed that it's only 6 episodes, but I'd rather it be 6 and just fucking... like you know, like dense with fucking fire shit, then to water it down and stretch it out to 8 and we have some boring shit and it becomes fucking Game of Thrones ass fuck shit. You feel me? Like I think it's incredible. I hope we get a second season. And you know, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it.
I'm kind of curious with all these Marvel shows about second seasons because they're pegged into the movie release thing, so it can't be like, oh, WandaVision was super successful. Like, I feel like they might need to slot in a follow up to that, like 9 movies later or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know enough about the production to know if they can kind of like actually work that out. Because I'm sure Loki is in this Doctor Strange multiverse movie, so the story from the show is probably being continued there in some way, right? Like, I know Scarlet Witch is in that shit too, so. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Obviously, I think Tyler has sort of established the law that like the last episode will determine whether it was a great season of television or not. Like if who is behind all the timekeeper shit is stupid, then it will be dumb. But it doesn't feel like they're not going to stick though. I'm not really worried about them sticking the landing. You know what I mean? It feels like it's going to a good spot for sure. All right. That's our time on the Jenkins and Jones Doo-Doo Chronicles. Thank you so much for fucking with us. We'll be back on Thursday.
Niggas shitting their pants. Y'all calling me incestuous out here. It's a really foul fucking episode, man. Really heinous shit going on the Jenkins and Jones podcast. Vacation special, nigga. You know what I mean?
Rate our heinous shit 5 stars. Tell your friends to subscribe to our heinous shit. And if you want the video version of it, it's available at youtube.com/thevolume. And yeah, we'll be back with more heinous shit on Thursday. Bye.